So in this presentation, we'll look at developing data sources, indicators, key performance indicators, and scorecards. So let's start with developing data sources. The data source element defines a connection to your business data used by Performance Point applications. And there are five different templates that we can base our data source on: analysis services, Excel services, importing from an Excel workbook, SharePoint list, SQL Server table or view. The first one there represents a multidimensional data source. It connects to the cubes that we have in the analysis services database. The remaining four are categorized as tabular because they're defined by a set of columns, and at query time they return rows. Let me make the point up front here that analysis services is strongly the preferred type for the reasons we'll talk about here on this slide. First of all, it only works with analysis services released 2005 and above. And is preferred, first of all, because it delivers high-performance query results, simply because of the nature of multidimensional databases and the fact that they pre-calculate and aggregate values, that they can return results very, very quickly. Second, analysis services cubes can be developed to include key performance indicator definitions, and so Performance Point can simply leverage and reference the already defined KPIs within the cube. And thirdly, they support great interactive features in the scorecards and analytic reports that we'll explore in the following presentation. So when configuring a data source, you need to define the connection, authentication, and caching settings. So for example, for analysis services, the connection would require you to define the server, database, and the cube or perspective within the cube. From an authentication point of view, will it use the service account or the unattended service account to connect to the data store, in which case all users will see the same data according to the permission set of the unattended service account? Or do we want the individual user's credentials to be passed down to the data source so that the roles at the database level can determine what that user can or cannot see? Just be aware that if you're going to work with the latter there, that you're going to pass the credentials down to the data source, you may well be required to configure Kerberos delegation to support that double hop scenario. Now for the tabular data sources, you will need to define column by column how that column interacts or plays with the data. For example, which columns represent the things in your data, in other words, the dimension columns. For the numeric columns, we would designate them to be fact. And what aggregate function would be used then to aggregate the data that's being retrieved through the data source? Finally, for all types, time properties can be defined. And this supports a very easy way to define time-related queries. For example, I would like to know what the sales are, or the KPIs for this month versus last month, or month year-to-date, or for this month at the same time last year. That it can be complex, particularly for developers and end users, to go ahead and construct these types of queries, particularly when you've got multidimensional sources and tabular sources. Well, this product makes it very easy by saying that if you go ahead and define how time works at the data source level, we can use some simple time period specification language constructs to go ahead and construct time-related queries elsewhere within the product. Moving on to developing indicators, the indicator element is a set of graphics, text, and colors used to define different levels of performance when comparing your KPI's actual to target. And the indicator levels will form the bands for the KPI target. There are two types of indicators. We have centered or standard. I'll give you a very, very quick and basic example. Like the standard one, the classic would be sales, where we're going to test whether the actual sales meets a target. And once it meets or exceeds the target, it's always going to be good. And that's a classic example of a standard. Whereas a centered type would be where the KPI is measuring some target, and it's not okay to be either less or greater than that target. For example, in manufacturing, we may have a design specification that says it needs to be 10 feet long. That something that comes in at 9 feet or 11 feet is undesirable, but 10 feet is desirable. So when defining your indicators, you need to specify whether it will be centered or standard. And then you define how many levels the indicator will support. The user interface supports between 2 and 10 levels, with the addition of a no data level that would be used should no data point be retrieved at query time. And there are predefined indicator libraries for gauges, stoplights, smiley faces, and so on, that could pretty much mean that you just use what's already included in the product rather than defining your own. Now, when configuring the indicator, new indicators are based on a template. Is it centered or standard? And then the number of levels. And then each level, including the node data, you can update the display name. You can then define which image should be used, and any BMP, GIF, JPEG or PNG file can be used, what the text color and background color will be. Just appreciate that it's not until the KPI is embedded into a scorecard that you can actually determine what you want shown within the scorecard. Will it be the image, text color, and or background color? Developing key performance indicators. So the KPI is a predefined measure used to track performance of a strategic goal, objective, plan, initiative, or business process. An example I provide here is that you're measuring your market share. It compares and evaluates actual to target metrics, and as already mentioned, your key performance indicator definitions can be imported from analysis services data sources. Now that's the terminology that Performance Point uses, import. My preference is not to import, it really references. It creates a KPI that references and queries the current definition within the cube. So the configuration of the KPI, well, at minimum it needs to include at least an actual and a target, and it can have more if necessary. Each metric can have the following properties configured, so a number format, how it maps to an already defined data source, its calculation and how it should aggregate, if it needs to aggregate the KPI up to another KPI. Does it sum the children KPI? Does it take the min, the max, and so on? And then for each target metric, you need to configure thresholds, which involves the selection of a scoring pattern, banding method, and the indicators that we've just talked about. The next step then is developing scorecards. And your scorecard depicts organizational performance by displaying a collection of KPIs together with performance targets for those KPIs. It can be organized hierarchically using objectives and non-leaf KPIs. So the objective really is a container. Our objective is to become the world's leading bicycle reseller. Now, within that objective, we could have sub-objectives, and so you can appreciate there could be this tree of objectives, but eventually we need to bring data into this. And so the objectives will then eventually contain key performance indicators that then map through its actual and target metrics to the data. And it is possible then to aggregate the KPIs and their scores up this hierarchy to eventually explain and depict whether objectives are on track or not. Scorecards also support annotation, so it is possible that users can interact, they can add comments and review comments placed within the cells of the scorecard itself. So scorecards can be created with a scorecard wizard, which involves the selection of a data source. If it's analysis services, there's the option to import or, as I mentioned, to reference KPIs within that data source. You can define KPIs from the data source measures, defining name, actual, banding method, and targets. You can add measure filters that will filter the KPI. And then you can add members to the columns of the scorecard. For example, the calendar quarters of a year could be added across the scorecard. And then finally, you select the SharePoint list to create the elements in. Scorecards can be manually designed using the resources found in the Details pane. So here in the Details pane, we see the KPIs are available for introducing into the scorecard. The metrics can be added to form the columns of the scorecard. We have aggregations that allow us to introduce a column that will sum, min, max, average, or trend the values across the columns. And then, very commonly used, the dimensions expose the dimensions of your data source and allow you to slice and dice or to provide a hierarchy, an interactive experience for exploring that KPI across the different members of the hierarchy. KPI properties can be included, name sets from your cube could be included, and you can create your own custom or time-related sets that can also be used by the scorecard. And here's an example of what a scorecard looks like. With the toolbar turned on, the user has the ability to interact, expand, collapse, determine the roll-up, provide filters for the scorecard. Here we see an example of a hierarchy of our sales territories from Europe down to the individual European countries and the sales performance KPI that's comparing sales to sales target. The sales target includes an indicator and also a variance. So from a user perspective, the user can interact with the scorecard toolbar. They can filter by status, they can modify rollup types, expand and collapse hierarchies, they can sort their metrics, they can filter by value or by top and bottom numbers, they can add and read comments should that be enabled, they can show details through a drill through to say, show me the details behind this aggregate value, and they can analyze the data even further using a decomposition tree that we'll explore in the next presentation. Oh no, we'll explore it here. So it's an interactive arrangement of bar charts that allow the exploration of contribution relationships, and it provides an effective alternative to the drill-down-to feature in analytic reports. Note that this decomposition tree is also available from the two analytic reports, the analytic grid and chart, and it is dependent on the client having Silverlight installed. That brings us to the end of this presentation. We include as resources the Performance Point Services product team blog. Thank you very much.